Well, this is awkward. What would you guys like me to do right now? Want me to start? 10 more seconds. Isn't waiting the worst? Isn't waiting the most annoying thing? So it actually takes scientifically about 19 seconds to know that this is awkward. And we all have those moments in our conversations, right, where it's like there's like the dead moment, and it gets awkward there. We're not quite sure how to deal with the silence. And then, of course, we're waiting in line, and we hate that. And sometimes we order something on Amazon, and we wait for that, and then it doesn't show up. There's that too. But I think so often, I think we can see waiting as being an incredibly negative thing, right? We don't like doing it. And I think that's why actually we invented credit cards. I don't know how many of you guys here have a credit card. I actually know people, they know for themselves, I can't have credit cards. It's just a bad idea. But it's funny. We have credit cards because we actually want to be able to purchase whatever we want now. We don't want to wait for anything. And I actually find, like, if there's one particular age group that wants everything now, it's every single kid on Sunday morning downstairs. It's just like, you literally don't even get a chance to even, like, say good morning. And the first question is, can we have snack now? Can we play a game now? You are literally about to drop the Holy Spirit on the kids. And all they just go is, so, are you done yet? And it's true. We just hate waiting. We just absolutely hate waiting. And I actually find that even though I think being totally impatient, I think it is a sign of immaturity. And you see it often in young children. Are we there yet? If you have kids, the first thing out of their mouth in the morning is, what's for supper? And it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like the whole waiting thing is just not there. And I actually find that even though impatience and not being able to wait can, in a sense, be a sign of immaturity, I've actually found more and more, and maybe you guys can agree with me, that we actually live in a very immature culture, in a very immature society, because we just don't like waiting. We just hate waiting, and we see it as a completely useless thing, and we'll do everything we can to make sure we don't wait anymore. And yet, if you actually are slightly older than I am. For many of you of the old, not older, but you know what I mean, like, my generation. Let's, yeah, all right, thank you, Pastor Jay. Woo! But so if you are just a little bit older, in the old generations, you would actually know the benefit of waiting. You actually know the benefit of waiting, because maybe for some of you guys, you've saved up. And so you see the benefit of actually saving up and not spending all your money in one shot. You've seen the benefit of actually waiting for marriage and the good that has come out of that and not rushing into it. You've even, over time, because of your careers, you've had a long, long career or being in employment. And so you understand the pressures that happen with either changing career, losing career, like losing your job, but also staying in the same job for such a long period of time. So I know for my generation right now, the millennials, we actually, statistically, we will not stay in a job for more than a year to 2 years, or even down to 6 months sometimes. Just always on the go, always changing, can't really seem to hold a job, because when the pressure comes, we don't like our boss, we don't like the manager, we don't like our employees, we're just, I'm out. I'm not staying around for this. And yet for many of you guys, you have actually waited and waited and waited, and in the pressure of it all, you've stood the test of time. And you've seen the good that you've actually learned for yourself as a person by actually sticking it through to the end. And you would actually say, for the most part, waiting is a good thing. You don't see it as completely negative. You have experienced the goodness of waiting. And I think waiting in itself, I think it actually can bring out or even help us to reprioritize ourselves. Like, what truly matters in life? It really does that. So we've been in a series called A Beautiful Gift. And we're exploring who the Holy Spirit is. And so last week, Pastor Jay, he went on and on. He spoke about how the Holy Spirit is a person. He is someone to be known. He is a guide. He is a teacher. And we had a great, great moment last week in learning about that, but also being able to simply press in and say, you know what? I want to know more of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, I actually would like to talk about the idea of waiting a little bit. Waiting on the Holy Spirit. Because I think it is a true key component of receiving and experiencing who the Holy Spirit is. And I want to say right off the bat why this is important. Because the Holy Spirit, He literally is the way for you and I, our friends, our coworkers, and the world around us to experience the kingdom of God. So it is incredibly important that we wait on the Holy Spirit. If we truly want ourselves, our friends, our coworkers, our families to experience, not church. Let's be honest, church can get boring. Can I say that? Am I allowed to say that? Church can get boring. Church can get boring. It is very mundane. Actually, Mick pointed out, it does happen, right? There is that mundane that can happen, and it can seep in, and it can just get, quote unquote, predictable and boring. But you know what is not boring? The kingdom of God on display. The kingdom of God, when it's on display, is not boring. People are saved. People are healed. People come back from the dead. If you believe that, and if you can hear stories of missionaries on the front lines around the world preaching the gospel, we see these kinds of occurrences. We see it in the book of Acts, and we see it even today, and we hear of it today. People are set free. People are emboldened with creative ideas to say, what can we do to bring righteousness to the world? What can we do to make Jesus famous? What can we do? So the kingdom of God, when it is on display, it is the most attractive thing for every person in our midst to experience. And in order for this to truly happen, if we truly want it, we have to simply wait. There is this waiting component. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 1. So it's the first chapter of Acts. If you're kind of new or using the Bible, you can, one, you go on your phone, just go on Google or use a Bible app, just put Acts 1. Or if you're kind of sifting through, it's the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then, boom, Acts. It's right there. Acts is a very interesting book. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. It's also known as the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we truly get to see the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God being spread throughout the world. And it is an amazing, amazing, amazing collection of historical moments. It is not a story. It is real. This actually took place. The characters that we meet, the characters that we read about, the experiences that we see, number one, are real. And number two, what we see happening in the book of Acts still takes place today. Because when the kingdom of God is moving, things happen. So here we go. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and also to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. And after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen, and after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. If you're here this morning and you are not entirely sure whether Jesus is real, I know that myself, would love to take you out for coffee. I love Starbucks. I will buy you coffee. I will buy you a meal. If you got questions, let's talk. I will listen, and I will listen to everything. And I'm pretty sure Pastor JT would love to do the same thing. Are you in the same boat? Do you love hearing people ask questions and then, yeah? That's two pastors ready to take you out for a meal. That's a good deal. All right, let's keep going. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Whatever you do, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. You see, John the Baptist, he baptized you in water, but in a few days, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then they all began to gather around Jesus, and they asked him, wow, this is amazing. This is so exciting. Lord, at this very time, right now, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority. However, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before them for their very eyes up into heaven, and a cloud hid him from their sight. This is the reading of God's word. So, Father, I just thank you so much. I know we've prayed a lot this morning, but we just love talking to you. I just pray that you would really help us to learn and to unpack what you have for us this morning. So one thing I love about what we see here is this really is a time of preparation. And if there's one thing that Jesus wants us to know this morning, is that he is preparing us for the new. He is preparing us to experience him in a brand new way. You see, you can be a Christian for 40 years, and you will go through seasons of life where you've experienced something absolutely brand new of who Jesus is. And it has carried you and sustained you to where you are today. For some of you, you have only been a Christian for maybe about a year. And you can say with an absolute fact, it has been either a really exciting year or a really intense, troubling year. However, through it all, I have learned something amazing about who Jesus is through every single moment of those things. It has been amazing and exciting. I've experienced Jesus in a brand new way. If there's one thing that Jesus is doing right now at the start of the ministry of the Holy Spirit being poured out to his disciples and the church as they go out and as they have this new voice within them to proclaim all that Jesus is and has done to the world and become witnesses wherever they go, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. And the reason why we are where we are today, sitting in this particular building, believe it or not, is because about at the beginning of the century, we had a whole bunch of people meeting in Drummond Street downtown, experiencing Jesus in a brand new way. It was called the Pentecostal movement. It was exciting. People from different denominations were coming together. They had been sitting in the mundane of church, Sunday in and Sunday out, and then they began to hear something brand new happening in downtown Montreal, Drummond Street. And they all started going. They're having prayer services, times of worship. There was preaching that they had never even seen or heard before. And church was no longer boring because the kingdom of God is not boring. It's exciting. And people were getting caught up in the moment. It was fantastic. They were experiencing all this in a brand new way. And then a group of men started a prayer meeting on Murray Street. And that prayer meeting became South Shore Community Church. You can actually drive up on Murray Street and you can actually still see the house where that prayer meeting took place. It is an amazing history. So at the core of South Shore Community Church is a value to say, we want to experience Jesus in a brand new way. And so here we read in Acts chapter 1. We see Jesus. He comes back. He gives convincing proofs that he is alive. And he appears to them for over 40 days. But when you read the biblical story from beginning to end, we see the number 40 happen again and again and again and again. It is not just a number, but it is definitely I guess you can almost call it a symbol, if you would like. It is a symbol of preparation. a symbol of preparation. We see Moses in the Old Testament on Mount Sinai, and he's receiving the Ten Commandments, and he's up there for 40 days, being prepared as a leader to be able to communicate all that God has for the people and to receive the Ten Commandments. For 40 days, he is listening, he is praying, and he is learning from God. Israel, before they could enter the Promised Land, they were there for 40 years in the wilderness, being prepared to enter the Promised Land. One of the major prophets, Elijah, he fasted for 40 days in the desert, trying and desperately trying to experience more of who God was and to be comforted by his heavenly Father. Jonah, another prophet, was sent by God to a city called Nineveh that was incredibly far from God. But because of God's unfailing love and his unfailing kindness and his abundance of grace, he sent Jonah to Nineveh for 40 days to preach the good news. And the entire city came to know Christ. They came to know God. And they were prepared for 40 days to receive all that God had for them. And we also see Jesus in the New Testament. We see him actually in being tempted in the desert, that right after his baptism, it is a glorious moment. He is the Son of God, is there in the water. He is about to start his ministry. John the Baptist is there and unsure if he wants to baptize him. He feels so unworthy to do it. And Jesus invites him and says, no, please baptize me. This is an incredibly special moment. And Jesus is baptized, and the voice of God comes from heaven, says, this is my Son whom I love and whom I'm well pleased in. And Jesus has done nothing yet. And then we see a dove come down, the Holy Spirit, and it rests upon Jesus Christ. And immediately in that moment, Jesus is driven out into the desert. He's driven out into the desert. He is tempted for 40 days, being prepared in every possible way to begin his ministry. And actually following this, after all this preparation, he leaves. And this is in Luke chapter 4. It's going to be on the screen. In Luke chapter 4, right after this moment, it says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's in a synagogue, and he's teaching, and he's preaching under the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he declares his mission statement. The reason why the Holy Spirit is on me, the reason why I've been prepared by the Holy Spirit is for this. And he declares what I call his mission statement. Or this is the mission statement of the kingdom of God. This is why the kingdom of God is not boring. This is why the kingdom of God is not boring. In Luke chapter 4, 18 to 19, this is what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me or empowered me to proclaim and to shout and to live out good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is the mission statement of the kingdom of God. And in these 40 days with the disciples, he is teaching and reminding them, this is the point. This is the point. And you don't want to get caught up in simply holding services. You want to wait on the Holy Spirit, and you need to be prepared for it. You need to be prepared for it. And I think what's amazing about this is during these 40 days, it's amazing how they still kind of messed up a little bit. Which can happen to us. We can get so caught up in the moment, get so caught up in what we're doing. And I think for the disciples, and we see it, that he's with them for 40 days, and he's teaching them. And he's teaching them about the kingdom of God, which is what we see here in Luke chapter 4. This is the mission statement of the kingdom. This is what Jesus began to do. And then all they said was, okay, this is great. We're excited. We want this. We're going to do it. All right. We're pumped. I'm pumped. Like, all right. You're a good leader. You've casted good vision. Let's build some teams. Let's do some sign-up sheets. Come on. Like, let's do this thing. And Jesus says, wait. No. Like, that's not how it's going to be. And they actually say, so Lord, after all this great time, we've had some good training sessions. We're doing small groups right now. We're doing some hubs. I love it. Everything is good. Everything is good. We've got some good kids ministry going on right now. Everyone's learning about the kingdom of God. We're excited. So now, as our leader, that you're with us, are you going to restore the kingdom now? And Jesus is like, no. No, I've been training you to send you out. And in order to do that, you have to wait. And so all that passion and all that courage and all that zeal, Jesus says, I'm happy. It's great. But you have to wait. You can't do ministry. You can do programs, but you can't do ministry until the Holy Spirit comes. Because at a certain point, without the Holy Spirit, things get boring. And you need to experience all that the kingdom is. Because that's what it's all about. You have to be prepared to experience everything in a brand new way. And I think so for many of us here, I think we can in part relate to that. I mean, definitely with the part that church can get boring. We can definitely relate to that. But so often we want things to happen now. And then, of course, the idea of waiting is just so negative. I don't want this so much. No! I want to do it now! Mom, what's for supper? My mom is actually here this morning, so it's a bit of a surprise. But I think it's interesting that I think for so long that they had experienced all, they had experienced the Spirit. They had experienced, the disciples had experienced the Holy Spirit through Jesus' ministry. They began to see all of this take place. They saw Jesus do miracles. They saw him teach. It was exciting. They saw what he began to do. And they experienced the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus. It was amazing. It was not boring. It was fun. But Jesus had something totally different in mind. He wanted them to begin to experience him and his power and his work and who he was through the Holy Spirit. I think that's what Jesus wants for us this morning. They had been experiencing the Holy Spirit through Jesus. And now it was time for the switch. You and I, we can say with confidence that Jesus is in the room. We can say that with confidence because we experience Jesus, the risen King, who is alive this morning, who still does this. We can experience Jesus this morning through the Holy Spirit. And so he's preparing them to experience something new. I know I'm saying that a lot, but I want that to be the massive takeaway this morning. The Holy Spirit does many things for us, but he truly does help us experience Jesus in a brand new way, day in and day out. And as he says this, and as he prepares them, he gives them this clear posture. He says, whatever you do, or you see it in verse 4, he says, on one occasion he spoke to them and he said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised and which you have heard me speak about. I think this is where the waiting does come in. In the original Greek, we read it over here, it just says, do not leave Jerusalem. But in the original Greek, it actually says this, stop departing from Jerusalem. It's a bit more strong than, hey, can you just like, you know, stay in Jerusalem? Is that okay? Cool? It's not that. It's a pretty intense command. Stop departing from Jerusalem. In a sense that the disciples, through this time of learning and experiencing what was happening. They kept on going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and were simply not situated in one place to experience all that Jesus had for them. They were incredibly distracted. And they kept on leaving. Right before this happens, the reason why this is so a punch to our face, and it should feel like that, where Jesus is like, just stop leaving. Stop getting distracted. The reason why this is a thing, Luke 24:49, Jesus had already commanded this to them. And he said, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in Jerusalem, stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So they're most likely staying in a small town called Bethany, which is where Jesus had actually been right before he was crucified. And if you have been in the church world long enough and you've heard Bible stories, you would have heard of someone named Mary and Martha and a man named Lazarus who was risen from the dead. There's most likely they were staying there. And just they kept on going home and then coming back and coming home and coming back. And we're simply not staying and waiting and praying. And like I said before, what waiting truly does, and I think the reason why this idea of waiting is such an important command, if we truly want to receive this brand new experience of Jesus Christ that he wants for us, like I said, it evaluates our priorities. What truly is important to us. Where our mind goes to as we're waiting. And I think as we evaluate our priorities in the time of waiting, waiting for a job, waiting to experience more of who Jesus is for us, waiting for a spouse, waiting for our marriage to work out, waiting for finances to balance out, waiting. You get to have the opportunity and the invitation to slow down for loving union with Jesus Christ. It begins to demonstrate our vulnerability and our need for more of Christ. Because when we're waiting, we're not doing. We're not trying to fix everything. We're not trying to come up with really great innovative ideas to fix whatever is happening to us. But it demonstrates our need for Jesus. We begin to lay down our pride and our ambition and this pursuit within us to make ourselves known. And we begin to slowly lay down our pride. It begins to produce character within us. That when the pressure is there, we wait. And in that pressure, our character grows. And in that, we gain more wisdom. Isn't it funny that people who have the most wisdom are those who have experienced the most? And it doesn't even matter the age. It just, they've experienced a lot. They've experienced a divorce, breakups, hurt. They've experienced pain. They've experienced getting a job at a very young age and knowing what all that is like. They begin to experience having money at a young age and either being really foolish with those finances or being incredibly wise with their finances. Going through school, how they've done that, and the pressure of school. It is quite amazing. No matter what the age is, you can still get wisdom. It's the waiting that Jesus calls us to experience him in a brand new way. And when we think of the Holy Spirit, this idea of waiting for the Holy Spirit, for so many of us here this morning, there can be a bit of a, we don't know where we stand on this thing. I heard one person say a few years ago, he said, in the Old Testament, the greatest sin was we simply forgot God. In the New Testament, they simply forgot who Jesus was and they rejected him. And I think, and he said, the modern day sin today is that we have simply forgot the person of the Holy Spirit in our churches. And so for us this morning, maybe your background has been, we simply forgot our churches have forgot. We have forgotten who the Holy Spirit is. Maybe we fear the Holy Spirit because of what you've seen or experienced. Or you just don't know. Or maybe you've actually experienced people or churches actually forcing different experiences of the Holy Spirit upon you. Or even guilting you because you don't show signs of an outward experience of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus, in the time of waiting, he wants you and I to experience Jesus in a brand new way. And if you truly see what the mission statement is, when the Spirit is upon us, there is freedom. When the Holy Spirit is here, when we wait, there is freedom. And I will keep saying it. The Holy Spirit is here so that you and I can experience Jesus in a brand new way. I will keep saying that, and I will drive that point home. I know I'm repeating and repeating and repeating, but it's so true. And it's why he's telling his disciples, just stay. Wait. Stop getting distracted. Please, evaluate your priorities. Please. I don't think he's saying please. I think he's a bit more, I'm saying please, because I'm Canadian. I think Jesus is a bit more kingly in how he says it. Actually, my father's here as well, which was a bit of a surprise. And when you come up with sermon illustrations, I love you. So growing up, pray for me, church. Don't worry, it's going to be fine. It's going to be good. So growing up, we all had different responsibilities, and it would kind of shift in the house. We're three boys in the house, three brothers, and our chores would kind of rotate different times. And so my parents had a very good system of parenting. anyways, one of my main responsibilities is I actually had to cut the grass every week. There was a period of time in my life where every week I was in charge. That was my responsibility. But as someone at that time was a really good teenager, this one thing I did not like to do was work. And so I always try to find a way to not cut the grass. Now, one thing that did happen during a period of time is the lawnmower stopped working. It stopped working because, you know, I would get the lawnmower out, I would get ready to go, I would huff and puff and procrastinate the whole experience. But I would get the lawnmower out, and I would, you know, you put the gasoline inside, you get everything kind of ready, and then you kind of start, like, you know, getting it going, and it doesn't work. Now, as someone who should, like, you know, wait and think and look at maybe what the problem could be, the answer is not that. The answer is, well, it doesn't work. That's it. All right, I'm done. I'm going inside. This is over. And then my dad would come home, and he'd be like, how come the grass is not cut? Lawnmower doesn't work. Doesn't work. And sometimes it was really bad. Because we had to, you know, mow the lawn, but then also you had the hedge cutter. So it's two separate instruments. And so you have to mow the lawn first and then do the hedges. And sometimes you kind of like go, well, the lawnmower doesn't work. Can't find the problem. Can't figure it out. Don't know what's the problem. Don't really call your dad. Or you do, and it's like, yeah, it doesn't work, but, because you don't want to deal with it. You don't want to do it. And then you just kind of just like, just do it half and half, you know, like you put the lawnmower away, you got your excuses for not dealing with it and actually doing your current responsibility that's actually given to you. And all you have is you just like, just kind of do the hedges. Then your dad comes home and says, mow the lawn. Well, yeah, I did the edges. But didn't you do the lawn? Next week. After. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so eventually my dad was tired of this. So he tried to figure out what the problem was, and it was actually a really simple problem. It was the spark plug. The spark plug just needed cleaning. That's all it was. And I didn't even know that was a thing. He looked, a few seconds in, saw the spark plug, pulled it out, saw it was dirty, cleaned it, put it back in, and it worked. It was great. I really grew up that day. Learned so much wisdom in my young years about the spark plug. And then it happened again. It stopped working. And I'm like, I put the gasoline in. I took out the spark plug. I cleaned the spark plug. I put it back into the, and it still didn't work. So I just praised the Lord that I don't have to work. And I just put it out, boom, done. And all it came down to was we just needed a new spark plug. But it's amazing how we can so shy away from our responsibility in Christ when we kind of feel like it's just not working. And we find as many excuses as we possibly can to simply put things away, pack up, and leave. And I think that's why Jesus is saying, wait and stay. Wait and stay. Because the promise is, my power will come upon you, and you will receive power from on high, and you will be clothed in it, and you will be my witnesses wherever you go, wherever you go. And you will be immersed in it. You see, you were baptized in water. You were immersed in water. But now you will be immersed in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Stop making excuses. Don't abandon this very simple thing of experiencing Jesus in a brand new way. Because your coworkers need it, your family needs it, your friends need it, schools need it. Wherever we find ourselves, the kingdom of God needs us to experience Jesus in a brand new way. And I love it. It's not even based on how good we are. It's a simple gift. You see it in verse 4. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised to you. Power to continue the mission that I have began to do. And you see it in verse 1. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do. Not what he had done, what he began to do, so you and I can continue the mission, to live on mission, to embody the mission in holiness, so that we can be incredibly different by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's for everyone. Age doesn't matter. Economic status doesn't matter. Male, female, married, single, it doesn't matter. This is how the book of Acts ends, Acts 28. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house, and he welcomed all who came to him. And he proclaimed the kingdom of God, and he taught all about Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. He experienced Jesus in a brand new way, and he spoke and lived the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus wants for us this morning, to wait and experience him in a brand new way. So I'm going to invite the worship team forward. If you need a freshness this morning and saying, I need to experience Jesus in a brand new way, there's a reason why I kept on repeating that. It's so simple. It's for everyone. Age doesn't matter. Economic status doesn't matter. Married, single, doesn't matter. Where you are in life, your situation, it doesn't matter. In your heart, do you want to experience Jesus in a brand new way? As we worship, I invite you just to come to the front. We're going to all pray. But if you just need time with Jesus, this is for everyone. It's for me. It's for Pastor Jay. It's for the worship team. It's for the ushers. It's for everyone. If you want to experience Jesus in a brand new way, the floor is yours. Let's stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for the promise of your Holy Spirit. And I pray, God, that you would just give us this ability and this desire to simply wait on you, and that our souls would begin to long for you. Oh, Jesus, that you are so good. And I pray that you would just send your Holy Spirit upon us this morning afresh as we worship and as we pray. God, because you are good and worth it. And we want the world to know that. In your precious name, amen.